Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove, and
Hold up there, Shane.
Wait a second.
Yes, it is, finally.
Wait a second.
Greetings, everyone. This is Jason Lewis, the super producer, absolutely.
The super producer. Well, where did you come from, and where have you been?
Well, I just figured since I've had so many good well wishes from our loyal fans and just the people at the hospital staff and everything, I'm just getting back on my feet. So I figured I'd join you tonight.
Well, I certainly appreciate your triumphant return. And I know all of our listeners have been way eagerly awaiting the patented greetings from Jason, the super producer.
Yeah, it's been a struggle, but you know, I feel like I made it through with all those well wishes from all of our loyal fans, as well as family and people in the street. And it's just surprising the outcry that I've gotten of just goodwill and prayers. They worked, and I appreciate it. And I'm glad to be back so we can continue making these shows and continue to grow the podcast.
So nobody told you we kept making the shows without you?
Well, my informants have let me know, and I appreciate the people that have stepped in my behalf and helped out. And you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, you know, it just hasn't been the same. And yes, it was really awesome to. I mean, it was terrible what you went through and the struggles, but it was awesome to see how many people reached out to me and, you know, wanted to know how you were doing and told me to send you their best wishes and that they were praying for you and stuff. So, but I think there is a lot to the positive thinking and prayer and just well wishes to kind of help you heal from afar. So
I
especially having done this podcast for so long and some of the crazy things that we have heard about, including what we're going to hear about here in just a few minutes, that nothing surprises me in this world anymore. So and definitely not the ability for a large number of people to help somebody recover from something that at times seemed a little dire. Well, I'm glad to have you back. I know our listeners are glad to have you back. And I hope this first show doesn't disappoint you.
No, it's impossible to be disappointed. This is the From the Shadows podcast. And to all of our normal people that we know is out there listening, and to all of the new people that has joined since my hiatus, greetings, everyone.
All right. We love it. Well, as usual, I just want to remind everybody that if you do have an experience that you want to share with me and now the super producer again, and who knows, I keep hearing that the judge might be showing up for a episode here in the near future. He's been awfully busy too. So, But we know, me and you both know, his is self-imposed exile. It's not because he's sick.
Yeah, we better not comment on that.
Yeah. But if you have something you want to share with us, a great story, you can get a hold of us at the From the Shadows podcast on Facebook. Find our After the Shadows forum on Facebook. Find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram or our From the Shadows podcast Instagram page. Send us a message or the contact page on the From the Shadows podcast website is working. Or you can be like our guest today, I guess, and just be the friend of somebody that I am co-writing a song with, who just happens to say, "Hey, I've got a friend who had something crazy happen to her," and that is how our guest Leah came to be on the show tonight. So, Leah, thank you for joining us. Thank you for not thinking that I was a crazy person by sending you a message out of the blue, and saying, "Hey, I heard you got a paranormal story."
Well, yeah. thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, and it's also an honor to be the first show back with Jason back too. So,
thank you, Leah. It's a pleasure to have you here on as our guest.
Well, Leah, I like I alluded, we have a mutual friend who is a kick butt songwriter down in Nashville. I mean, she's pretty amazing, Lindsay.
Yeah.
And during the course of us getting to know each other, writing, you know, people find out about my podcast and she says, "Hey, you've got to listen to my friend's story." And as so happened, the story that I've heard this story from the person you were with's perspective on another podcast. And it was so intriguing that I thought, well, we got to get you on so you can share your side of the story, and maybe we can dig in a little bit deeper into what actually happened. So if you want to set up for all of our listeners what you were doing, where you're at, and kind of set the mood a little bit, and then let's hear what happened to you.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. So it started out, my friend Maria, she's a badass snowboarder. And I was more the climber back in these days. Maria's now picked up climbing as well and probably could kick my ass in that as well. But, this day we decided to do a mission that's climbing Mount Stewart, which is one of the predominant mountains kind of like around my home, here in Washington State. It's in the Cascades. And we were climbing this route called the North Ridge. And so it's a climb that you have to rope up for. And there's definitely like technical rock climbing on it. So I was kind of leading for that part. But then we had a decision that like, okay, but once we get to the top, Maria can actually be the lead for the descent because she's actually snowboarded that mountain multiple times, even that season. So she knew the descent pretty well. And so the plan was to just follow her from there. So the climbing went really well. Maria did a great job. It was a fantastic day in the mountains for us. But the descent, the descent that we chose to do is called through like the Cascadian Couloir. And it's a few hours of just trudging down like scree and loose rock. It's pretty miserable. The climb in general is just, it's a long climb. People usually take multiple days to do it, but we were doing it car to car style. So we were maybe, I don't know, 18 or 19 hours in when we were going down the Cascadian Couloir and things, and the sun started to set on us and it got dark.
So I'm going to stop you right there. So we are establishing right now that you two are a couple of tough chicks, a couple of women to not be messed with. You guys know what you're doing. You're super experienced in, and we're, I mean, right? I mean, you have to be attempting to do what you're doing in less than 24 hours, probably. Right?
Yeah. I mean, Maria might look back on me bringing her into the mountains and argue differently, but I'll agree.
You'll agree. And so just how high did you guys, Now I don't know the proper term. Ascend, like, right? How
yeah.
High? Yeah. What was your elevation?
Yeah, I should know this. I should know what the summit of Stewart is. My fiance even proposed on the top of Stewart when we soloed it a year and a half ago, and I don't even know what the elevation.
it's pretty high
up there. Like right now, it's still covered in snow. I don't know, but I will say that it's a hard climb, mostly just because it's remote. There's a couple different ways to access Mount Stewart, but no matter like which way, and people like argue which way's better, it's going to be like I don't know, almost like a 20-mile day, like round trip, something like that. And with a lot of elevation change, there's like multiple passes that you need to go up and over. Like no matter which way you go about it.
I mean, I don't want to, Jason, I want to minimize what she's talking about, but that just sounds like a Monday at the post office.
But, going up them hills for you.
before you go, do you ever, okay. And I know you love doing this. Do you ever like get to the top and just kind of like take a deep breath and like, ah, oh, crap, we got to go back down now. Like, it's so great, like exhilarating to get to the top, but the coming back down, I mean, is it less of a thrill?
Oh, I mean, like, of course it's like a relief to get to the top, but like depending on what your descent is, like that can be even scarier. I mean, like,
oh, okay,
like rappelling. I mean, I think it's scarier if you're being realistic for like statistics of like, you know, a lot of people end up hurting themselves on the descent. Rappelling is actually arguably more dangerous than climbing is, often because people just get complacent about it. So, I mean, yeah, like if you're realistic about it, you can realize that when you're at the top of your climb, that the dangers and like the difficulties of the day aren't over with yet. But
okay, so and you kind of mentioned it, but so you're, this isn't like a like you're not walking up a trail that people walk up. You are like climbing, scaling rock face.
Yeah, I mean, climbers will like share routes, which is why like the North Ridge of Stewart is like a very well-known and classic climb for rock climbers. You know, so there's like, you know, people will like share beta of like, oh, when you see this feature, then you go right around this, you know, and stuff like that. But no, there's no trail.
which leads me to a question later on that, now you just said that once we hear about your experience, then I'll ask how you classified that on the way down. Okay. All right. Okay. So now we've established Jason. She's experienced. She's super hardcore. She's tough. And now she's crazy, but don't tell her that. I think she's, okay, so you're on your way back down, and it's tough. Okay, so let's pick back up.
Okay, so I was following Maria, and we were just kind of having a fun conversation to get us through the cascading couloir. And we have our headlamps on at this point, and Maria stops and looks ahead, and her headlamp, and soon mine, is fixated about, I would say, about 100 feet ahead of us down the Cascadian Couloir. And there was, like, honestly, what looked to be almost like a two-dimensional woman that was, like, all just, like, either white or black. And it looked like it was a woman with black hair wearing a white dress. And just two like big gray eyes, like, and they weren't, the eyes were just gray. Like there wasn't like the whites of the eyes versus like the pupils and all that. Like, no, it was just like two almond shaped gray eyes. And it was very like clear and defined that that's like what the shape or like the figure that we are looking at. And this woman was just like facing us, and her black hair was like in like these like two braids, and she had this like white like kind of hat on too. And Maria, you know, stops and is looking at her for a moment, and I'm looking at her, and I'm just trying to reason through what it is that's going on, because we're still, you know, hours into the backcountry, like many miles, like 7 or 8 miles at least in the backcountry. And so Maria yells, "Hey," and nothing happens. And from my perspective, since I'm trying to reason through it, I'm like, okay, we need to figure this out. Like, we need to like play rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to like walk closer, you know, like because we need to figure out what's going on here. And so I actually said, "What the fuck is going on here?" Oh, am I allowed to swear? I didn't know if I'm allowed to swear.
It's too late. You already did.
Well, that was actually what I said. So, you know.
Well, then, I mean, hey, look, then that has to be part of the story. Because, look, even though I don't swear, that's probably what's going through my head right now as I hear the story. So.
Okay, well, so then I said that, and then Maria just says, "I don't know, let's go." And then she just starts walking some more. And so from my perspective, I'm like, I start following her because I don't want to be left behind, like alone at this point. My heart is racing and I'm following her, but I'm also just like looking right behind me. And she starts talking about something else. So I'm just thinking like, okay, I must have just been hallucinating because she's not like freaking out about this thing. She's just moving on. She's carrying on with this like hike out. And so I just follow her and continue on with conversation and look behind me every once in a while, but we just continue on. And we eventually get like pretty deep into like brush, like the bushwhacking gets like pretty thick, and it seems like she's kind of like lost her way. And I say like, okay, should we turn around and like try to find the trail again? And she's like, no, like, let's just keep going this way, like bushwhacking through, and we're going to hit this trail. And so that's what we eventually did, and we hit the trail and, you know, kept conversation going up and over Long's Pass. And we were almost to the cars when we saw, you know, these reflections of eyes looking at us, like, and we can even see the cars at this point. Turns out it was a cougar by like the way that it was moving. We could tell it was a cougar. So we like put our backpacks over our head and took like our trekking poles, and we're like clanking them together. And, you know, like, it would be a scary thing, but honestly, I was still afraid of that woman that we saw, so it didn't really register for me. And anyways, we made it to the car. We closed the doors. She locks the doors and says, like, what the fuck was that thing in the Cascadian Couloir? And so it was at that moment that I realized that she actually did see something, too. And she was just way too, like, the way that her reaction was just to ignore it because she didn't want to emotionally face it at that time. And so I asked her to explain, like, okay, so that we weren't, like, collaborating, you know, stories and, like, playing off of each other, like, in our imaginations. I asked her, like, what did you see in the Cascadian Couloir? And what she said, she says, I saw a woman with black hair and a white dress. And I was like, yeah, that's what I saw too, you know. And by that time, like, we couldn't investigate, you know, it was, you know, the woman wasn't there anymore. And I have no idea really what it was that we saw. And I'm not really, I don't know. I didn't really like necessarily believe in that sort of stuff. But now I feel like I have to, because like I mean, since I had that experience that was absolutely unexplainable, and if it was a hallucination, it was a shared hallucination, which I find to be unlikely. I don't know. A strange coincidence. I don't know. It was really crazy. And even though my fiance and his parents were hanging out with me the next day and they all thought I was crazy, that's my experience. So is what it is. So,
I mean, I'm like taking notes. I'm like, okay, yeah. I got it. So obviously, and I think, because we kind of talked about this before, and you guys have done some research, and I did some research, and I could not find really any legends or folklore or myths or anything about Mount Stewart or that particular part of the Cascade Mountains. Like usually, if that was something that other people had seen, of course, there might be other reports. Who knows? I mean, yeah. Who are you guys supposed to report it to?
Right.
Like you're telling me and Jason the story, and how official are we? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're not. Yeah. I mean, it's not like we've got a database of out there for people to cross reference and be able to find. Yeah. Although now, when we put this episode up, if somebody else has an experience, they will be able to find. By the way, we label it in the notes. Mm-hmm. maybe somebody else will have a similar experience and hope share it, or maybe they'll feel like they're not crazy.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Right.
But let's, so you said, you went up since and your fiance, that's where he proposed to you.
I had gone back there since, although we made sure to come down before it got dark.
Okay. So do you think that made any difference? Was just dark? Because you're seeing this because you guys are shining a light on them?
I don't think so. I honestly think, that there was something, paranormal or extraterrestrial there. I don't think that it was like, it wasn't like any sort of like rocks that were arranged in a certain way. Like, no, it was, I was trying to reason through it and I was like, okay, did some like climbing friends like bring this like cardboard cutout of this woman like 9 miles into the backcountry? Like, I was trying to come up with some sort of explanation, but obviously like that's not it. And we reached out, like you're saying, for doing research. Maria did a lot of research the next day because she was freaked out. And we also like went on climbing forums asking other like climbers if they've experienced anything. And we have not gotten anything back. So it'd be cool to hear if your listeners, did have anything to share about that area or anything similar. I don't know.
I do have
my theories of like now of.
Yeah, like, I was. Yeah, like, I was mm-hmm. just going to ask. Like, you did have a really interesting theory that I thought probably. I mean, to me, it kind of makes sense when you hear a lot of paranormal stuff. So, you want to share what kind of, looking back, what you think may have happened?
Yeah, looking back, you know, and talking with people who didn't just dismiss me as crazy. we've talked about, like, you know, there was a cougar there too, which is a strange coincidence. It's not often that you come across a cougar. It's the only other time that I've spent a lot of time in the mountains that I've actually encountered a cougar. And it is possible that the cougar had been stalking us, you know, for all those miles or whatever. And I don't know, like, you know, there are dangers in the mountains. And whatever it was, Maria actually ended up changing her course of our descent when she saw that that figure, that woman. And I didn't realize this at the time, you know, because I was just following her. And that's why we ended up getting pretty deep into, like, the bushes and bushwhacking pretty hard, was because she was like, well, I was going to go that way, but now that that woman's standing there, we're going to go this way instead. And so I think that that was actually what that woman wanted, essentially. Like, I think that if you're like a spirit and you're like seeing these two women hiking down this mountain and you're seeing them going towards danger for whatever reason, and like, if you want to intervene, then like, I guess that's like what she did. And people have asked me, like, okay, well, did you feel that she was like a good protective presence? Like, no, like, I did not. I felt scared. But, you know, if you're trying to get a response out of, you know, mortal beings and you're not, I would say that, like, fear would probably be, like, the most, like, reasonable, like, way to get that response. I don't know. So that's my theory, that it was actually, like, a protective being or spirit that was just trying to get us to do the thing that we did. Which might have ended up saving us from something. So,
well, I'd like to weigh in on this a little bit. I believe that sometimes spirits will manifest themselves, or some entities will manifest themselves to warn you, like you're saying. Maybe at one time in the past, by the way you were telling me how she was dressed, maybe she was a living person in the past, and you never know, maybe she perished up on the side of that mountain.
Yeah.
And so she was like given a warning because her spirit is not resting. And she was like, don't come over here, it's really dangerous or something.
Yeah, totally.
Well, yeah, because think about it. If she appeared beautiful and warm and loving, that might have drawn you to her instead of...
Right.
Right. Instead of, and you mentioned that she had black hair and two braids.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but that sounds almost Native American.
Yeah.
Like, and to what Jason said, you know, maybe that it was a Native American, a spirit of a Native American woman who perished up there or something, and was trying to protect you guys.
I think that theory makes sense, you know, for, yeah.
Yeah, because what I was able to find about the Cascade Mountains and some of the places were that Native Americans did not like taking people up there. They didn't, because I think back in the 1800s, explorers would come and ask for Indian guides to take them up to places that, you know, obviously they thought they had been. And they said it was hard to find Native Americans that would take anybody up into the Cascade Mountains because they really thought there were evil spirits. Now, some of that was attributed to Mount St. Helens, you know, and some of the seismic activity that took place. And then, you know, and that was their way of explaining what was going on. Like, if the mountain rumbled, it was mad. You know, if lava and stuff shot out, it was spitting fire, you know, spitting fire at them. So that was what they knew. And so they really had, it seemed they had a really strong belief that that was not some place to go up and mess around. So, and maybe somebody was up there that shouldn't have been and perished, and their eternal job is to make sure nobody else perishes along that route. But
yep,
it's crazy. So she was standing in the same exact spot where you guys were supposed to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now let me ask you, looking back, if you had known that was the way you were supposed to go, would you have grabbed your friend and said, come on, let's go, that's the way we're supposed to, you know, we need to go?
Yeah, if you were leading the descent, how would you have responded?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for one, like, I was curious enough that I was like, oh, well, we have to figure this out. the response of, like, going in the other way, I don't think would have worked on me. I think it only worked on Maria, if that was
the answer. Okay.
Right? But okay. But Maria was the leader, and so, I mean, that's how it played out, so.
Right, right.
Well, I think that's, number one, I think, I think it just takes a special person to even be out in those elements and doing that sort of thing that you guys are doing. And
special's one word for it.
Well, you know,
but it's an adventurous person.
But if your heart is, I mean, so rock, you know, rappelling up and down rock face, trying to outmaneuver a cougar, if that doesn't get your heart racing, but this, like, mysterious, like, two, and that's the thing, as you said, it was two dimensional, so it didn't look like it was a real, like,
solid person standing there,
which is even crazier to see that and know that it doesn't really look like a person.
It didn't look like a solid person. It also didn't look like your standard ghost. Like, it looked almost like someone had, like, drawn it, like, I don't know, like almost like anime style or something. Like, I just, like, I can't even explain it. Like, the eyes were just so big, you know, but they were big gray eyes.
And it didn't make any sort of motion or there was no activity from this thing.
No.
That led you to think that it even knew you were there.
No. Well, except for that it was, like, directly facing us. I felt like it was staring at us. But, yeah, I don't know.
And there was, and no noise, no nothing, huh? Now, when you looked back over your shoulder, was it still there?
So when I looked back over my shoulder, I was looking back up the Cascadian Couloir, and we were actually going down, like, another drainage. So, like, soon we couldn't even see that general direction.
Okay. So you don't know if it was still standing there. You just knew it wasn't following you.
Yeah, that's all I care.
That's all you care. Oh, boy. I you know, Aaliyah, I'm just stumped on this one. I mean, I really am. I really like what you've kind of come up with, where you think it was trying to steer you away from something bad happening. Because what's the any other reason for it to be there? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't really think, I'm with you, I don't think that the two of you could both see something almost exactly the same, like, looking at it from basic, because it's not like you're still looking at it from two different angles. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not sitting on one another's shoulders or whatever.
Totally.
So you're in the same, you know what I'm saying? So you're still, if it was rocks or something natural, you're still going to see it. One of you is going to see it differently than the other.
Yeah.
And so Now, do you, what would you do differently if you had to go back and do it again?
See, I don't know. Cause, like, if, like, we're safe now, right? If my theory is correct, then, like, everything worked out exactly as it should. Like, you know, we got to, like, carry on with everything, then, you know, and we came out completely unharmed. But I'm so curious, like, when, you know, when I have been back on that mountain or in the Cascading Couloir. Like, I definitely have been looking for her, you know, because, like, I would just, I would love to have some sort of answer. Like, but I've not found anything.
Do you go back to that spot and just kind of stand and look around and just see if it feels different or anything?
See, I don't even know exactly what spot it was, right? Like, and the Cascading Couloir goes for, like, yeah, like, it takes hours to descend, you know? So it's just, it's hard to know exactly where that happened. And it's not, like, a single trail, like we said, you know? So to, like, get back.
Right, it's undefined, yeah.
It would, yeah. Otherwise, I'd be going back there right now.
So the other thing is, do you feel that it was better to see it as you were walking down rather than see it while you were strapped to a rope on the side of the
like, yeah, I will think when you are like connected to a mountain or a wall, sometimes it is like a scary feeling that you can't just like run away. I've climbed El Cap several times now, and it's weird how, like, you know, there are times that, like, I've been on the wall for, say, like 5 days, and you, like, you don't walk, you know, like, it's like probably like the fewest steps I've ever taken is like when I'm like rock climbing for like a week straight on El Cap, because, like, you're not walking, you're strapped to the wall, and, you know, you can move around, but you always have to be connected to something. And yeah, that's a kind of a scary feeling sometimes. If there's, like, say, rock fall coming, like, you can't just, like, run away from it. And yeah, it was nice that we actually were on solid ground, that we could just kind of walk in a different direction. So wait a second.
You mean to tell me that you are attached to a mountain hanging on the side for 5 straight days?
Yeah. I mean, some people go longer than that, depending. Climb you're doing, and I mean, some people do climbs that usually take multiple days, and then they do it in a matter of hours or whatever. So
I mean we can't even get people to show up to work for 3 days straight, and you're hanging.
Big wall climbers are masochists anyways.
So I stress again to everybody out there that's listening, that that may not, that has, like me and Jason, we're not rock climbers, but I can understand the stress that you put your body and your mind through to do that sort of thing.
And
the nerve that you must have, that for you to say that seeing this essentially lifeless, two-dimensional thing that didn't even make a move towards you made your heart race. That's all I need to know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because if you're doing this other stuff and you're as cool as a cucumber, wow,
that's like the ultimate adrenaline rush right there. Now, what I was thinking is, if they would have seen that on the way up the mountain, I think it would affect you a little differently than when you're going down. You might want to turn around.
Yeah, we would say, not, you know, that climb.
Yes, exactly. Say, now is not the time for it. We'll try this again another time.
So all the times that you've been climbing and out in wilderness, you've never had any kind of weird feeling, seen anything strange, heard anything strange?
No, I mean, I'm like, and since I've been open to it too, I still haven't seen anything like that. It's, I don't know. It definitely has changed my perspective on that stuff, but it really is unique to me. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leah, I am seriously glad that, that you were open, free to, you know, come on and share with me and Jason this story, because it's just a stunning thing to me, because there's no explanation. And I have, like I said, I heard your friends, I heard Maria's side of the story on another podcast.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same, you know, I mean, I think we delved into a little more detail, but it's just, look, it's unexplainable.
It's a fantastic encounter. I really appreciate you coming on the show with this.
Well, thank you.
And I really hope that somebody else out there, because like I said, I've heard a lot of stories. When you mentioned that you thought it was like somebody trying to steer you away from danger, I've heard those type of things many, many times in just different areas and different situations as far as what it was that was steering somebody away or, you know, so I think there's a lot to that. I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
Cool.
I think you did. I mean,
well, I'm glad to hear that from the experts. That
I thought we established early on we're not experts in anything. We're not experts in anything. But no, so I hope somebody else hears this and feels like sharing, because I think it would be really cool to
to
find somebody with similar experience.
If any of our listening audience, I hope they, you know, respond to this. And if they've heard anything that happens in that area, we're definitely interested in hearing about it for sure.
Yeah, this is even better maybe than you running across like a Bigfoot or something up there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
because that would be like, we've heard that. But this,
well, there's, you know, Bigfoot in that area. I believe quite a few, actually. But,
well, if Leah's lucky, the next time she's on, that's what she'll be telling us about. Hey, you're not going to.
Oh, that'd be great.
I can't believe it. Well, Leah, hey, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. And I'm looking forward to seeing if anybody else, like I said, has a similar sighting. And believe me, you'll be the first one to know if we hear anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.